You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church, located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
And here's what's interesting. The Lord took me back and allowed me to remember, man, what mom used to say, right? When I was born, my mom used to say that I was an ugly baby. Can you imagine that? You know, but she said that. She said I was an ugly baby, and she didn't mean it in a bad way. She was just saying, well, I was really skinny and puny, and I had, you know, what we now know probably is food allergies. When I was little, I couldn't hold anything down, and I was just not a really attractive baby, you know. My mom was young, and, my mom and dad, my mom was married when she was 17. She had me when she was 19. My dad was 21 when they had me, and I can't even imagine that, right? And yet they helped me and nurtured me and carried me along. And my cousin, Susie, she was born in January. I was born in November, and what made me think of this was that her birthday just passed. I saw it on Facebook, and it was a picture of her and me and my great grandmother was holding us, and it just made me think that mom used to say that Susie was a beautiful baby. She had a darker skin tone and beautiful brown eyes, and she's just a beautiful baby. And mom said that they would take us to the grocery store, Aunt Carolyn and my mom, and they would be pushed us around in the strollers, and people would walk up to Susie and they'd say, "Oh my gosh, she's beautiful," and then they'd look over at me and not say anything, you know, crickets, you know. And so I was thinking about my cousin Susie, and she's a beautiful lady, and still is, has beautiful kids, and then there's me, right? But I was skinny, and I grew up that way. I was just skinny and puny, and I remember growing up, you know, all the way through school. It's just the way it was. I used to lift up my shirt, and I would do my Hulk Hogan pose, and you could count every rib in my sternum, whatever that is, rib cage, right? And I remember growing up, and so I went out for the freshman football team, and the freshman football team, I was dweeb number one. And there was a dweeb number two, I mind you, right? And after practice, they'd pull everybody together. We'd do these hamburger drills, and they would call in the dweeb, dweeb one and dweeb two. And we would battle out for the number one seat, you know, the number one dweeb. And I was, by golly, not going to let, you know, Rondon Neal beat me out of being dweeb one. I mean, that's just the way we grew up, right? And I remember growing up, there was just these struggles and these limitations that were completely out of my hands. I remember this. How horrible of a tester I was. I mean, my grades weren't horribly bad. I think looking back, I probably had some ADD issues and struggled in that way. Imagine that too, right? But I remember sitting there. I remember waking up and with the instructor saying that there was 10 minutes left with the ACT exam, right? And I had this big, like, ring of saliva dripping down on the ACT exam. I just had fallen flat asleep, and I took it twice, and the second number was even worse than the first number. I was just a horrible tester, my ACT exams. And so the guidance counselor calls me in, and so he's like, Ryan, you're in your scores. I'm not even going to tell you guys what my scores were because we have Facebook live stream that goes public and everyone knows. I don't care. I don't have anything to hide. But the truth is, it was very low. And I remember my guidance counselor says, son, it's not like you're going to be a doctor or lawyer or anything. You know, you need to go out there and get a real job. And thank God I didn't listen to him and went on to college and all that, you know. But my point is that looking back, man, there were all these limitations and these struggles. And I just significant things that, you know, I didn't want to be where I was. I wanted to be past that. And I wanted to make good grades. And I wanted to be, you know, I didn't want to be a dweeb, you know. There's more to life than being a dweeb, I thought, you know. But I do. Well, here's what I do remember. What I do remember was when I was 10 years old, my great grandfather, the first eight years of my life, mom and dad lived across from Walmart in Franklin on 73. You know, the Springboro Franklin exit. Across from Walmart, there's a brick house that my great grandfather built that time, and we lived there. And he would go to Florida during the winter times, and mom and dad lived there, and mom and dad had a bedroom in the basement, and we had, Ronnie and I shared a bedroom in the front room, and Dad Tyne had the back bedroom, and I had an incredible relationship with my great-grandfather, and his name was Tyne. I named my oldest son after Tyne. That's T-I-N-E. That's his name. And so Dad Tyne, I remember this. I remember we moved out when I was about 8 years old. And I remember when Dad Tyne was about ready to pass away, Mom took me back to his house, and I went back in, and they called me. He called me in his room. And when he called me in his room, he was laying there in his hospital bed. And I remember he wanted me to get up in the bed. So here I was about 10 years old. I got up and sat down in the bed, and he began to speak blessing over me. And he began to share with me. He was about ready to pass away, and he began to share with me, Ryan, how important it was to make good choices, how important it was to live for the Lord, to shun evil, to pursue God, and accept Christ into your heart and life. And he began to speak these words of blessing, and he prayed a prayer of blessing over me. And I remember his hand, his old hand, and he would put his hand on me, and he prayed that the power of God would be with me, that he would help me. And here's what's incredible. What I, looking back and talking about the blessed life, I truly believe where I am now was a large part because of the prayers that Dad Tyne prayed over me. Does that make sense, folks? I believe that what God wants is for us to seek his hand of blessing. And I believe what God wants is us to pursue that blessing and to experience the blessing that God has for each one of us. Because here's the truth. The truth is that we all have limitations. You're sitting where you're at right now, and there's a gap. There is a struggle. There is where you are now and where you want to be. Right? We all fall short, and we all fail. We all fall flat. And the truth is that these limitations are due because of our lack of strength. And no matter how hard we work out, and no matter how hard we try, and no matter how hard we get to where we want to go, there is always a gap. There's always this struggle that we deal with. And at the end of the day, I believe that deep down inside of us, we begin to take on these limiting beliefs that make us feel or make us believe that we can't get past our current failures. Are you here with me today, folks? I know this. I know that physically, I've seen more people struggle physically. All seems to be completely out of control. Once the diagnosis is given, all hope is lost. Struggling physically. I know that there's folks that not just struggle physically, but they struggle with financial issues and resources. They struggle with work. And some of us have not succeeded, and we've fallen behind, or we're not where we want to be. And we feel that our work is less than, or we feel that God wants something more for us. But yet there is this gap with where we are in our workspace. I think emotionally, man, here's the truth. Here's the truth. The truth is that we can make $1 million a year, but at the end of the day, still struggle emotionally with something. Something someone's done to us, or something someone's spoken over us, or something that we've internally believed, or an area of darkness in our life that leaves us empty and void. And just in this inability to get past this darkness or this gloom or this depression, emotionally struggling with whatever the case may be. I know relationally, some of us feel very isolated and lonely. Loneliness is a horrible thing. And I think that there's probably many here today that struggle with being lonely. Maybe it's a broken marriage, or a marriage that's not what it needs to be or not what it should be. Maybe it's your parents or friends, or for whatever reason, we struggle relationally. That's an area that leaves us empty. And then there is this whole issue of spiritual emptiness. This issue, and you know what? The truth is Chris and I were talking about the spiritual issues today. And what I mean by that is this, is that I believe that we have gone for so long now that many of us have never had the opportunity to taste the richness of God's Holy Spirit and His awakening that comes in a way that brings renewal and a revival to a community of people. In our own lives, there's a spiritual void, a lack of purpose. There is this struggle with sin, a lack of fully tapping in to the relationship with the Lord, a spiritual gap between where we are and where God would like us to be. And I just sit here today, listen to Sarah's songs and the selection that she picked, which was a great, you guys did a great job in ministering to us in song today. Read through those songs and listen to the words. There's a gap, folks, a gap. I believe that spiritually God has so much more. He's got this feast, this buffet table set up with all kinds of extravagant, beautiful things and that He wants us to take in and consume, and yet we don't even realize that it's there. God, help us. Help us as church leaders to do a better job in creating that hunger for something more. Look, here's the truth. The blessed life is not, it is not just some church word. It's something that God wants us to experience and deep down wants us to desire, and He wants us to partake in. The blessed life, it cannot be purchased. It cannot be earned. And don't give up on me. Hear me. It's not something that we can win or find by way of luck. The blessed life is something that only God can give. The Bible talks to us about it. In the Bible, all throughout the Bible, whether you believe in the Bible or not, all throughout Scripture, it talks about the opportunities that we have in experiencing blessing. So let me start with this, because here's what I believe. I believe that many of us, we struggle with the idea or with the fact that even God loves us enough, or that we're deserving and worthy enough for God to bless us or to give us good things. And so I want to just start with that. Jeremiah 29:11, this is what it says. And in this, it's talking about you personally. For I know the plans that I have for who? You. You, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for you. He's not just leaving us hanging out to dry. God has a plan for you. And when God says that His plan is good, it's better than you can ever imagine, because God's goodness is way far further than what our goodness could ever even comprehend. God has plans for you, and those plans are for good, not for disaster. God loves you, and God has a future for you. He has he wants to give you hope, and He wants you to understand that you are worthy by His blood, by His sacrifice. You are worthy because He created you. You are His creation. He loves you, and He wants you to know that through Him you can have a future and hope. Before we can believe anything that the Bible says about blessing, we've got to understand that God has a plan for you. And that plan is not for you to continue to live with a gap or be limited in with where you are and where you want to be. He wants to blow the lid off, folks, and He wants you to experience the fullness of Him. For us, and what I found is, it is asking God. God is asking, for us, let me say this, for us, and what I have found about blessing, it's asking God to reveal to us, help us, asking God to pour His blessing out upon us. A part of seeking this blessed life is seeking out His blessing. God wants us to understand our limitations and to seek out his blessing. There's a guy that I read and a guy that I love. His name is John Maxwell. You guys know who John Maxwell is? Read his books. He's a world-renowned author, and actually he started preaching. He was a pastor of a small church here in Central Ohio, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and it grew, and things happened for him, and God blessed him, and God moved him to Skyline out in San Diego, and there he had a Wesleyan church out there, and it grew and exploded. And then the Lord called him out of being pastoral ministry into the business world. And in the business world, he began to write books, and he's got more best-selling books than anybody I know. I mean, he's all about leadership, and he goes into IBM, and he goes into NFL teams, and he goes into all these different corporations and companies and shares and speaks with them about leadership, and a lot of it, all of it is biblically based. And God has just blessed him in that way. But John Maxwell talked, I heard him preach in a sermon about 8 or 9 years ago. And he was preaching this message about how he always pursued the blessing of God. And how he would seek out God's blessing. And whenever there was someone, a pastor, or there was a leader, or there was someone that he knew that was living right with the Lord and he had respect for them, he would go to them and ask them to bless him. And I remember him pursuing Dr. Bill Bright. And Bill Bright's won across all denominations and all in church world. He's a campus crusade. He's won so many hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord, right there with Billy Graham. And Maxwell, Dr. Bright was about ready to pass away, and John Maxwell was talking about how he went to Dr. Bright to seek out Dr. Bright's blessing. And so that Dr. Bright could pray that prayer blessing over John Maxwell. And I was hearing Maxwell speak about this, and I'm like, and at that conference, Maxwell prayed a prayer blessing over all of us. And it was awesome stuff, man. Just hearing him pray blessing over us in the way that he did it. So I had this idea. I thought, man, I've got to seek out God's blessing. So Beth and I, not long after that, we were in Central Florida. And in Central Florida, back in that day, this was years ago, but they just started doing this passion tour. And a lot of the songs that we sing come from this passion movement. And Louis Giglio is the leader of the passion movement, right? And so Louis Giglio is not a singer, but he set all these college bands up and he started playing these songs. And Louis would preach and do this kind of thing and do a revival service for college kid, 20s and 30s. And so anyways, Beth and I sought Louis out, went to this passion event in Lakeland, Florida, this big, big mega church. And we're sitting in there and there's all these thousands of people that are sitting there, thousands of people. And they're there. And Louis gets up and he preaches. And the Lord speaks to me. It reminds me of John Maxwell, right? And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you, Ryan, to seek out Louis's blessing. I'm like, God, how do I do this? So I lean over to Beth. I'm like, Beth, I think after this is over, God's asking me to go find Louis and ask Louis to pray a prayer blessing over me, right? And Beth's like, what? There's all these people here, and he's going to think you're crazy, a kook. And so anyways, it was over, a great event, and we're sitting there, and she's like, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. Where do these people go after they get done doing this kind of thing? So we went around, all around the building, and I'm looking for Louis. I mean, I'm going through doors, I'm picking in, and I'm asking, hey, have you seen Louis? And they're like, they thought I was nuts, these workers and stuff. And so I felt like the Lord was leading us around. And so I said, Beth's like, come on, Ryan, we gotta go. And she was very patient with me because I think she knew that I really felt the Lord wanted me to do it. And so I said, come on, let's go up here. So we went up the steps and we're walking around. No one's upstairs except we made the turn and poof, out of thin air. It was almost like, poof, out from nowhere, Louis pops in. You know what I mean? He's just there. We turn the corner and poof, there's Louis. He's all by himself. And Louis's like, just Google Louis Giglio. He's a great preacher. He's one of my favorites. And Louis's just like the king of cool, man. And so Louis, he's older, a little bit older now. He's older, but so anyways, I walk up to him and I said, hello, Mr. Giglio. Or Mr. Louis. I called him Mr. Louis. I don't know why. I just get stammered around. And I said, Mr. Louis, I think the Lord's asking me to ask you for your blessing. So he took a couple steps back and looked at me and asked me some questions. And then he like prayed this prayer of blessing over me. And I just felt like God's power was in that, in seeking out that blessing. Now, why would we do that kind of thing? I think the reason why God finds favor with that is because God finds favor in us being able to recognize our own limitations and our own gap and our own need for dependence upon Him. Do you follow what I'm saying, folks? God finds favor when we recognize that we can't do stuff in and of ourselves. And when we ask and seek out things like His blessing, God finds favor in that. And He pours Himself out upon us in that way. Look, here's what I know to be true. What I know is that God wants to bless you. What I know is that God wants to bless this church. What I know is that God wants to pour Himself out upon you. He wants you to not experience that gap. He wants you to move past those limitations. He wants you to blow the lid off. Whatever it is that's holding you back, He wants to break the chains that bind you. And He wants you to live according to what He calls abundant life. Look, here's the truth. The truth is that God wants you to live with His healing. He wants you to understand that He cares about you physically. So when I pray a prayer of blessing over myself or my family or even over the church, over you, I pray that God would bless you in body. Now, where do I get that? What's that from? Look at James 5, 13 and 16. God cares about the sick. James instructs us, are any of you suffering hardships? If so, you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Do you hear that this morning? So when we seek after God's blessing, there's nothing wrong with us seeking after Him to bless us in body or bless us physically. Look at number two. God cares about your work. He cares about your provision. That's what work is. It's labor, labor. He cares about you in body. He cares about you in labor. And what's labor about? Labor, God has built us so that we find work. And that work, through that work, God brings provision to us. And He blesses us. God, He wants us to experience that. Look at Matthew 6. Talks about, so don't worry about these things. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things, they dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all you need. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. You hear what I'm saying, folks? Look, God wants to bless you and your work. He wants you to know that He cares about you. And when you begin to seek Him out, God begins to give you work and jobs, and He begins to give you favor with your employment like you've never experienced before. God wants you to understand that He cares about your emotional well-being. So when I pray, I say, God, bless my boys, or bless my wife, or bless my church. Bless them in body, in labor. Bless them emotionally. Bless them emotionally. Why do I pray for emotional health and well-being? Look, it took a pastor to ask this question to those of us in ministry. What do you do with your deeply traumatized people? What do you do with them? The truth is that we have folks, it is not uncommon, myself included, have emotional hangups. We've got things that we've taken on, things that we've believed, emotional wounds, depression, darkness, from things that people have done to us, to things that people have spoken over us that have left us in a gap. And we can't get past that gap without God's blessing. So what do we do internally? We have what's called prayer ministry. Terry Harrell leads that. It's in the weekly. Every week we're putting it in the weekly. And she's meeting on Wednesdays. Look at when she's meeting. That's an exercise that we use. It's prayer ministry. Chris and I use it. Leadership uses it. We meet with folks to help them find spiritual or help them find emotional healing. Because when God comes in and when you wait upon him and you spend time in prayer and you're seeking out his blessing and his truth, he gives you that word of truth that helps you find healing and move past whatever the issues are. Look, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That prayer is two-way communication. God giving us truth. God telling us and helping us to experience his peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Let me just say this. I want to say this to you this morning, is that you don't have to live depressed. You don't have to live with eating disorders or emotional entrappings that continually steer you back to relapse. God wants you to find healing. And when you begin to seek his truth sets you free socially. Socially. I pray that for favor, not just with God, but also favor with others. I pray that God would bless my relationships and bless my kids. Tyne's going to a new school after being a homeschooler, right? Right, going to this new school and friends. I pray that God would give him favor with teachers, and God would bless him relationally, or bless him socially, because I believe that God wants us to make an impact through our relationships with other people. And I believe this too, that the enemy, what God wants, the enemy wants the opposite. The enemy wants to divide. And the enemy wants to isolate. And the enemy wants you alone. God wants you in community. Man, God wants to bless you in your relationships. He wants to bless you socially. And you see this in Acts chapter 2, 42 and 47. All the believers devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, and they were sharing into prayer. There's a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs, and all the believers met what? By themselves? No, they met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had, and this whole idea was about sharing and community and being in relationship. And look at 47, enjoying the goodwill of all people. God wants that for us. So when I'm praying for blessing, I'm praying that God would bless socially. And then lastly, is spiritual blessing. Man, I sense sometimes this spiritual coldness or this dryness. God, help us. God, right now, bless us spiritually. I believe that it's kind of like we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And if God, bless what I'm saying right now and help us create a hunger within each and one of us. Create a hunger within me and within leadership, and create a hunger within this church to understand, or at least to sense that there's something more that you want to give us, something more that you want to pour out upon us, because you want us to experience the fullness of you. I believe it. Sometimes we're just falling a little shy of that. It's like we don't know what we don't know. But let me tell you, this is what I do know. What I do know is that there can be an awakening, a spiritual renewal or revival that can come over a church and just bless us in that way, where there is nothing more important, and there is just this sense of awe. The scripture's trying to relate it to us and tell us what happened in the early church. What happened in the early church? What happened in the early church when there was a deep, 43, Acts chapter 2, 43, a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I believe that God wants to do that in the later day. I believe that God set us up here not so that we can just come in and get by, but there would be an eager expectation to come in and sense that there is something incredible going on. And where we begin to see something more than just somebody singing and playing a guitar or someone giving a subpar message, but God intervening in our weaknesses and this anointing birthing forth, where we are in the midst of something that's more profound than we've ever experienced in our lives. Guys, I'm telling you, In history past, countries were changed because of great awakenings. When the early church, the early church was birthed, but not just the early church. In modern times, within the last 50 to 100 years, there has been multiple experiences and movements across the country that changed the world. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe that God wants to move us beyond where we are. I believe that God has something for you and something for us, something for our families. I'm tired of seeing the devil win. You understand what I'm saying? I'm tired of seeing the world impact and the world dictate to us what we experience and what we don't experience. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15, look, this is one of our favorites. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and they pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. So God, in the name of Jesus, will you bless us in body? Will you bless us in labor? Will you bless us emotionally, socially, and spiritually? God, we seek out your blessing. We pray. When I pray for you, that's what I pray. You pray that for me. Look, I'll take that. If you all pray, that'd be pretty good if you all are praying that for. But I pray that for you guys. There's power in this stuff. It's not to be taken lightly. God wants us to live within the blessing, to experience this blessed life. Are you willing to seek out God's blessing for your life? Are you willing to do that? Do you have any desire to do that? I pray, God, that you would give us a desire to do that, to live within the blessing and experience the blessed life. Father, I pray that you would help us. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you would help us, God. I pray that, Lord, this morning would God, something would just click and snap. And God, something would just move us, God. Help us to first understand and receive the fact that you are there and that you know us personally and that your plan, you have plans for us, not for disaster, but you have plans to give us hope and a future. Your plans are good. And God, help us to also understand that you see our limitations and you see where we're held back. You see that ceiling, that glass ceiling, that lid that we live under, that we haven't been able to get past. And in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you will blow the lid off this church. Blow the lid off this community. Blow the lid off these people. Help us not to live below the lid, but to live beyond the lid. And what we recognize, and folks, what we recognize today is that every one of these, all about blessing. It's all about prayer. And we talk about our 15-minute protocol, spending at least 15 minutes with the Lord every day. And if you miss a day, get back on it the next day. I've missed days. You get back on it the next day. You don't beat yourself up, but you just continue to seek God and pray and ask for his blessing to come upon you and your family and your community, your church. If you begin to do that, I'm telling you, you will experience God like you've never experienced him, because he loves you, because he died for you, because he sent his son to be in relationship with you. If you this morning, right where you're at, you would say, Ryan, I need God's blessing. There's a gap. There's limitations I run into. There's struggles that I have. Just raise your hand right where you're at. And I need God's blessing in my life. Is that you this morning? Is that all? There's more, right? I see those hands. There's more. There it is. There's an ancient blessing in Numbers that has been shared and spoken over countless people of many nations and different languages. And it came from the Lord. And it was instructed to be spoken over the people of God for such a time as this. And this is what it says. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. And we know that blessing to be what it is. God, in the name of Jesus, bless my friends in body. Bless my friends in labor. Bless my friends emotionally and socially and spiritually. I pray that you will bless them, raise them up, raise up their families. God, what we think is dead or dying, may it come to life, God. What we think is weak and waning, God, may God, you just pour out your strength, and may we begin to see things rise up in such a way where, Lord, we begin to experience your blessing as it is. Folks, the cool thing about all this is that the greatest blessing ever was the blessing of God sending His Son Jesus so that we could have a relationship with Him. And that whole idea of being in relationship with Christ, Jesus says Himself, He says, I came, like, it's not just about us dying and going to heaven. It's all of that, but it's also about us experience abundant living and abundant life. Jesus says He came so that we might have life and have it more what? Abundant. God, help us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless this church, this people. God, if there's someone here who does not know you, that wants to know you this morning, there's going to be prayer people up front. And I just pray they would make their way up front and that they would come to know you. May they check a box on a card and we'll get back with them this week. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you will make a difference and that you will see those of us live and walk within your blessing. And may we find favor with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.